big deflection, and a frosty look or two from Austin showed Henty what the Thunderer thought of vulgar curiosity. "We must beware of the others, though," says Speedy later, when he and I were alone with Napier. "Stanley's a damn ferret, and his editor hates us like poison. The less they know of Sir Harry's activities, the better." I didn't see that it mattered, but Napier agreed with him. "You should not become an object of their attention. Indeed, I think it best that your part in the whole campaign should remain secret. If it were known that you had been our emissary to Queen Mastiat's court, it would be sure to excite the correspondent's interest. And if they were to discover that you were alone with Theodore when he died, it might lead to unwelcome speculation." Speedy was nodding like a mechanical duck. "Fortunately, when Prideaux brought the news that you were in Theodore's hands, I was able to send another agent to Queen Mastiat to carry on the work you had so expertly begun. You will not mind," says he, giving me the bug hunter smile, "if I mention him in my dispatches rather than yourself? For security, you understand. Have no fear, your credit will be whispered in the right ears. And what's a single leaf more or less in a chaplet like yours?" There was nothing to say to this, and I didn't much care anyway, so I allowed myself to succumb to the Napier charm. "It means you'll be spared the labour of a written report," cries he genially. "You can do it verbatim, here and now. Give him a B&S, Speedy, and one of your cheroots. Now then, Harry, fire away!" So I told him the story pretty much as I've told it to you, omitting only those tender passages with Ulubar and Mastiat, and that bint at Ulubar's amber, whose name escapes me. No, Mali, that was it, and the attempt on my virtue by Theodore's queen concubine. Nor did I tell them of my plunge down the silver smoke. Why? Because they wouldn't have believed it. But the horrors of Yando's aerial cage and the atrocities of Gondar and my ordeal at the hands of the kidnappers whom Ulubar had ordered to abduct me so that she could do me atrociously to death, and how I'd been rescued by Theodore's fighting women and Ulubar given her passage out, these I narrated in my best laconic, flashy style, and had Speedy's hair standing on end. An alarming sight.
"Impossible! I cannot credit it!"
He was horror-stricken.
"You say Ulubar tried to kill you?
Had Gala renegades carry you off so that she could
murder you? No, Sir Harry, that cannot be."
"I'm sorry, Speedy, but it's true." I was deliberately solemn now. "I would not believe it either had I not seen it. I know you had the highest regard for her, not least for her loyalty. So did I. But I know what she did, and—"
"But why?"
calls he.
"Why should she wish you harm?"
He was in a great wax, glowering through his beard like an ape in a thicket, suspicion mingling with his shocked disbelief.
"It wasn't in her, I tell you. Oh, I know she was a vixen and cruel as the grave to her enemies, and would have seized her sister's throne, but that was honest ambition. She was true to her salt and to her friends."
"A moment, Speedy," Napier says.
"You may have touched it. Her designs on the Gala throne. Did she,"
turning to me,
"try to enlist your help in her coup? Because if she did, and was refused, might she not, in resentment—"
He was interrupted by Speedy's furious gobble of protest. Plainly, Ulubar had kindled more than mere professional admiration in his gargantuan bosom, and he simply could not bring himself to believe her capable of murderous betrayal. And yet here was the redoubtable Flashman swearing to it, so it must be true. But why? Fortunately, she was no longer alive to tell how I'd tried to kick her into a watery grave. Not that anyone would have believed her. After all, Mastiat hadn't. Still, it would be best if some perfectly splendid explanation of her sudden hatred for me could be found, an explanation that would convince Speedy beyond all doubt. Napier's wouldn't wash with him, but I had one that would lay him out cold. So I waited until his indignant wattling had subsided, and weighed briskly in. "Afraid that won't answer, Sir Robert. Oh, she'd have welcomed our help in usurping her sister's crown, but she never asked me point blank. Dare say she might have done, but as I told you, Theodore's riders pursued us. We were separated, and when I reached Mastiat's court, Ulaba had made her bid and failed and been arrested.
"With respect, Harry," roared Speedy, showing no respect whatever. "We..."